For over 30 years, BHM has been the trusted CPA firm for closely held businesses across Ohio and West Virginia.
BHM has made life easier for myself and our company when it comes to tax and accounting.
At BHM, we develop top talent to tackle your most complex challenges.
A CPA firm can be the lifeblood to a successful business. If you don't feel that way about your firm, ask yourself why not.
Visit bhmcpagroup.com to schedule a consultation. BHM, the CPA firm simplifying the complex.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Well, the Karen Reed trial has taken another dramatic twist that's left even Judge visibly shaken, Judge Beverly Cannone. We're talking about the trial where the prosecution just accused the defense of witness manipulation, non-disclosure, and potential misconduct. Serious claims that Judge Bev had to halt the hearing mid-session, calling the new evidence a matter of grave concern. But this really is about legal missteps. Or is it part of a larger power struggle between law enforcement, the courts, and the defense? Robin Dreek, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, joining us to help us break down what's really going on here. And Robin, when you see a judge react as strongly as she did in this case, I'm assuming you've seen her reaction, correct? Okay, we don't need to replay it.
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay. What's your first instinct when you saw that, and what is going on in that moment as she's coming back into the courtroom, visibly, physically shaking?
Yeah. So again, as everything in life, there's reps, and reps give us arcs of what normal happens. And so you can see the reps that she goes through, her motions, and every judge, because they do this every single day. Blah, 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 blah. And then when you have a spike in behavior, something happened that is so out of the ordinary that it caused that kind of reaction. That's what we saw in her. We saw a massive spike in her behavior that was so shocking to her. Again, being a layman in law, you know, you're not quite sure. But to her, it was a shocking deviation from what she's normally dealing with. And it looked like she's never dealt with it before, or extremely rarely out of all her years of doing this. And so, yeah, that's why zero in on that, because that was a from interpreting her behavior, pretty bad malfeasance going on by defense.
Yeah, I've never seen a judge come out like that. I mean, When I was first hearing of it, like as it was happening, I'm like, did someone just die in her life and she needs to take a break here? Like, did something really horrible happen? No, she's reacting to what the prosecution just showed her. And it shook her that much. What we're talking about here, essentially the accusation goes that the defense had hired a expert witness and did not tell anybody this. An expert witness that was originally hired by the federal government really to aid both sides in this. One that was doing the accident reconstruction, that's ARCA, that's the group that we're talking about. Impartial, and I have nothing bad to say about them, but that's how they were hired. That's how it was presented to the jury, is how it's presented to the judge in both cases. This is, you know, it's for you guys, take what you will out of this. Of course, you know, you can question them and such, but that was that. Then they go and allegedly hire them. And then there's talk of the retainer fee, which is roughly around $29,000. There's talk of how they should be presenting in court, basically coaching. And that's normal. You can coach your own witnesses to a certain extent. You can't have them lie for you. And I'm not saying that that's what they're doing. But they went through that whole process as if it was their own witness. And technically it was, if they're paying them, which we have to make sure and determine at some point if this payment was ever made, but they never disclosed it. Right. So the jury and the judge are all thinking, and the prosecution are all thinking, oh, well, this is an unbiased testimony here that we're getting because this is from the federal government that provided this for us. When in reality, it wasn't at all. It was a paid witness. That seems like this could derail this pretty quickly.
It doesn't help. So this goes back to the extremely muddy water of this case. And in my mind, what this comes down to, you have a lot of drunken parties that have horrendous recollection on the facts and details. forensic evidence is, that's what's under debate right now, is the limited forensic evidence we have, whether it was real, whether it's planted, whether it's accurate or not. And so they're relying on expert witnesses to say how accurate and good this evidence actually is. And then it was supposed to be unbiased expert witnesses doing this, when now we're finding out it actually potentially was biased because they're paid by defense and even being coached by defense. Now, here's where the other sticky part happens, and that is the police department has a really, really bad rep. Mm-hmm. Proctor, really bad reputation. So you would think the defense now is, you know, Karen Reed's defense is looking good because there's so much corruption murmurs and allegations and blue wall, you know, kind of stuff going on around the prosecution, around, you know, Proctor and the whole mm-hmm. team there, especially with the background of them and other cases. I mean, there's a lot of muddy water there, which you would think would really help defense. But then when you start hearing about things where defense is doing shady crap like this, it really, there does nothing but undermine it. So when you got such a weak case on both sides, where you have nothing but drunken hearsay and weak forensic evidence with expert witnesses that are now being questioned, what are you left with?
I think that's a million-dollar question here. And is this going to be looked at? And we'll hear arguments here in this next week about what happened. And I'm sure Beverly will let Alan Jackson and all them present their side of the story. It can go one of two ways. I mean, it can either be one of three ways. It can be, look, yes, we did this. Please, we're sorry. We throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. It can be, look, we did this. We thought everyone was notified correctly. Somebody didn't cross a T or dot an I, or this wasn't someone on the back end over here on our team failed. And we are sorry. That was not our intent. You know, or they can just outright deny the whole damn thing. I don't know how you really deny that.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points there, yeah. Tony. So if defense wants to redeem themselves on this one, they need to inspire trust.
Yeah.
We've said, so here's the behaviors they need to exhibit. And first of all, where I have trust and confidence right now is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Good move, good behaviors. I have, you know, as much as we're seeing some behaviors by a lot of people right now, that one behavior she just did really gave me a lot of credibility towards her. So I think things are going to work out okay because of her.
Mm-hmm.
What defense needs to do if they want to reestablish trust and credibility of their own, they need to have open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. They need to own it. They need to own it fast. Mea culpa. Move on. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. If they do the deny, they're done.
Yeah,
who's gonna ever believe them?
And look, I mean, she's not dealing with Saul Goodman here, you know, working at the end of the mini mall.
I was thinking that same thing.
She's not. I mean, Alan Jackson is a very experienced, very accomplished attorney. I don't see, we're talking about patterns of behavior, just arcs. This isn't something he would engage in. He wouldn't be trying to do this on purpose. I just don't see it. Like Karen Reed, hate Karen Reed. This isn't even about Karen Reed anymore. I just, character-wise, I don't see him hanging his hat on doing something like that. And they're doing the whole damn thing pro bono, too, which I think is interesting. But so why would you put yourself in that sort of situation over something like this where it could have been handled completely correctly? I mean, they could have used this, as they have, had they just disclosed things in a certain way. That's why I'm really wondering, is this some sort of really shitty oversight? But it had real consequences in that trial for people's view of that expert, of the ARCA expert.
Yeah, and it's huge because, you know, because there's such weakness on both sides in this one, this is really going to be held in the court of public opinion / the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that is presented before the jury and everything that a jury pools is seen about this even beforehand. I know they try to select one that's unbiased as possible, but in this case, it's going to be really, really tough to do that. These little data points are leaking in, are not helping defense whatsoever.
No, it's showing. Yeah. I mean, even if it's not the intent, and I just can't imagine that this is something that they were going to try and sneak in because it's not that powerful. It's not like, oh, we're really getting one over on you. It's more like, why did you do this? Like, this really screws this up. I don't know. And I don't know how the judge is going to react to it. The easiest thing that could possibly happen, Alan Jackson could get the boot because he's practicing there just basically because Judge Beverly Cannone said, yeah, you can practice here, gave him basically the temporary license, if you will, to practice in the state on this specific case. She could boot him and there wouldn't have to be any sort of hearings about it. The other ones that are there at practice there, that'd be a little more complicated. But I do wonder what's going to happen here. Do you think the judge is going to forgive this if they come in saying, look, we screwed up, it wasn't our intent, but here's what happened on, from what we understand on our end. We got to, for the sake of Karen Reed's defense, you shouldn't fire us. She deserves her counsel that she's had all this time. Or is she going to say, bye-bye, I don't care. You've screwed this up too much.
I don't know. I say that not because I don't have any idea. Mm-hmm. I think her methodology is really, really thorough and really good. There wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was like, I need to see this. I need to review this. And we don't know what her review is. And I like her process. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know because I don't know all the facts and data like you're saying. It doesn't make sense that defense would do this because it's dumb, like you said. And so I think it's also going to come down to how much they do own that behavior and what went on behind the scenes, accidentally or intentionally, whatever it is, that she's going to find out when she does that. And then ultimately she's going to make that decision based on, the faith in the system and the sanctity of the case. She wants to ensure, as a great judge does, that, justice is served. And if justice can't be served no longer by this defense team because of their actions, regardless of anything else, she's going to remove them. So as of right now, judge seems she's on her game.
I agree. I really feel like she is on her game and has been handling this pretty thoroughly and fairly thus far. I'm still taken aback by watching that. I actually heard the audio before I ever saw the audio, and I'm like, she's like hyperventilating.
She did.
Oh my gosh, this is something big. We shall see what happens.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.